Hello, welcome to the Lewisburg United Methodist Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit lwbumc.com.
Good morning. The scripture reading today is from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 19. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up at him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Maybe seated. Thanks, Andrea. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together in this place be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and you are our redeemer. Amen. I'm very proud to be a part of a church that on a weekend in March, 38 youth and adults are away on a ski trip. And not just a ski trip. If you didn't know that on Friday night and Saturday night, the youth and the adults had worship each night at 8 p.m. So it's not just a fun trip, it's also a spiritual formation opportunity for our young people as well. God bless them. Peanut butter and chocolate and soft drinks and desserts. Just some of the things that people have given up over the years for Lent. Anybody here ever done that? Yeah, okay. It's a common practice. It comes out of the idea that Lent is a time for sacrifice because our Lord sacrificed for us. James Moore is a well-known United Methodist pastor, and I've been a fan of his books and his messages, but he did this series several years ago and said, "Why is it that we give up something good when in the end, the story from Zacchaeus says that when Jesus confronted him and welcomed him, Zacchaeus said, 'Lord, I'm changing. All those things I used to do that weren't good, stealing and embezzling, etc., I'm giving that up. If I've taken from somebody unwisely, I'm going to give it back.' Why is it that we give up something good during Lent? What we should do is give up something bad. Anybody got a bad habit today? If you don't know of one right off, find somebody who knows you, and if they're honest with you, maybe they'll help you out. Did you know that the number one thing for giving up a bad habit is to name it? You can't give up something that you can't name. When you serve churches for longer periods than the average in the United Methodism, which is 5 years, but Reva and I have been blessed to serve one congregation 16 years and another 10 years, you get to know people and they get to know you. During our 16-year stay in Huntington, there was a member of my congregation who was a physician in the community, and he got into trouble with Medicare. And as a result, he ended up going to prison. Because Reva and I were there 16 years, we were there through all of it. We were there when he was charged. We were there when he was convicted. We were there when he finished his sentence. We were there when he came home and came back to the church. And I remember sitting down and talking to him after he came home, and I said, "Doc," that's what I called him, "Doc, we welcome you. Welcome you home." He said, "Yeah." He said, "I've learned a lot about myself." He said, "You know, at first I was bitter and I was angry because I felt like I was just doing what other people were doing and that they were making an example out of me. He said, but the bottom line was, some of the things I did were wrong. And I had to take that and own it. And only until I did that, did I begin to move forward with my life. My friends, Zacchaeus, in the gospel lesson, when he comes face to face with Jesus, he begins to own the kind of person he has been. Every person that I've ever known who struggled with any kind of addiction or bad habit of any kind can never go forward until they admit, this is where I'm at now. This is what I've done. My friends, if you can rationalize all you want about what maybe is going on in your life, but until you name it and own it, nothing can begin to happen. Zacchaeus owned his mistakes, and it was the beginning of something new. Number two, if you want to give up a bad habit during this Lenten season and for the rest of your life, you have to make up your mind. Once you name it, you have to make up your mind to stop doing whatever you're doing. Now, I remember for years when I used to be in this stream of giving up something good for Lent, like soft drinks or pizza or what, you know, whatever you do, I didn't realize, having not come out of a liturgical background, that the season of Lent is 40 days minus Sundays. Did you all know this? Sundays are feast days. So whatever you gave up during Lent, you can have as much as you want on Sundays. Well, I didn't know that. And this friend who found this out one time, he came to me and he said, "You've been keeping something from us." Well, I know it's a feast day, and I know that you can do whatever you have given up. But it's like the person who says, "Well, you know, I have trouble. I tell little white fibs, little white lies, and I need to be more honest. So I tell you what I'm going to do. Instead of telling 6 lies a day, I'm only going to tell 3. Right? That'll get you in that direction, won't it? No, my friends. You have to make a break. You have to decide that I am going to stop what is going on in my life and I'm going to do something different. This radical break is necessary to begin again. A parent one time was talking to a person who was a counselor and said, how early should I begin to teach my child religious habits and religious ways in their life? And they said, well, how old is your child right now? They said, 3 years old. They said, well, you better hurry home because you're already 4 years late. We must begin to teach our children at a very early age. This is why I'm so grateful for Lewisburg United Methodist Church having programs like Quest and Children's Church. You know, the children don't just go back there just to play while we're in church. They go back there to have a story that they can relate to on their level. They go back there to hear about Jesus and His love. And they go back there to receive a beautiful little communion service on the first Sunday of the month that's geared just for them. We must make up our mind to stop, and we must learn that at an early age. The third thing that's important in giving up any kind of bad habit in our life is that whatever you give up, you must learn to replace with something good. Did you hear what Zacchaeus said to Jesus? He said, you know, Lord, I've done some things that weren't right. That's what he's implying. He says, but now I'm going to change. I'm going to do something right. If I've taken, I'm going to give back multiple over what I've taken away. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to fill the void of the wrong that I've done with doing the right thing. Now, I just want you to know that in case you weren't aware of the background on Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus was Jewish, and he was living in a period of time when the Roman Empire was over the Jewish people. And they exacted taxes from the Jewish people. And they enlisted the help of certain Jewish persons to collect those taxes. Did you know that among the Jewish people, there was probably no human being more hated by their own people than a tax collector? And Zacchaeus had given into that hate and basically had said, well, if I'm going to be hated anyway, what difference does it make? I'll just collect more than I need and shave it off the top. And when he says to Jesus, not only am I going to start doing the right thing, I'm going to make right what I've done wrong in the past if I can. Now, this is a scary thought. Is the story of Zacchaeus an implication for you and me that if we have done someone wrong in the past and we know it, that we should strive to go back and correct it? That'll set you back on your heels. I'm not sure that we can ever go back and correct all the things that we have done or said, because the truth of the matter is there are times that we have said or done things that we weren't even aware of, God have mercy on us, that we hurt someone. But the idea that I'm willing to be conscious enough of my actions, that I'm willing to change from here forward and do something more positive instead of the negative that I'm bringing into the world. A mother was being visited by her pastor one day, and the mother had a little toddler who was on the floor crawling around on a blanket. The toddler was doing the combat crawl over to the edge of the couch. And right there where the thing that hangs down covers the feet, you could see a little something, and the baby reached out and grabbed it. It was the dog's bone. And you know what that baby did? It pulled that bone right in and stuck it in its mouth and started chewing on it. Well, the mom not hardly broke her concentration whatsoever. She just reached down and grabbed that bone. And as soon as she grabbed that bone in the other hand, she had a pacifier. You know, we'd like to just go ahead and keep chewing on our own bones, but we need a better thing. We need a pacifier. That'll make you think. Yeah, you meditate on that all this week. Give up something bad and put something better in its place. If you really wanted to sum up Zacchaeus, that pretty well sums it up, doesn't it? And lastly, let me conclude by saying, this isn't easy. It sounds good. It sounds pretty. It's motivating. It's inspirational. But doing it's another matter. We have to recognize that we need support and strength from God and from one another. Why do you think people who are going through addictions go to support groups? They need the encouragement. They need to know that there's somebody else who's been through something similar and they've hung in there. We need that kind of encouragement every day from the body of Christ to remind one another, yes. I just want to thank all the volunteers today and for Will for doing the skit today. What a powerful reminder that all of us have things in our lives that we don't know what to do with. And we just bring them to the foot of the cross and lay them before Jesus and ask for strength and encouragement. I can't tell you how many people over the years of ministry have come to me and said, I didn't ever plan for this to happen in my life, this tragedy, this illness, this disaster. But I can tell you one thing right now. I believe that God is allowing me to be more understanding and more empathetic to the people who go through similar things. And so whatever's happened to you, let God use it in a positive way. And lay aside your pride. Lay aside the pride that says, oh, I don't want to admit that I've done this or I've done that. Don't be like the diver that James Moore talks about in his book, a diver that went to a new ship, and when he got there, he was not fully experienced in all the aspects of diving. And they asked him immediately, would you wear the iron suit, you know, with the big helmet and all and go down? Have you done that before? He said, well, he didn't want to act like he wasn't experienced. He said, oh, I've done that before. I'll do that. So they suit him all up and they lower him down on the side. And this is many years ago. And they gave him a rope to hold on to. And he gets down to the bottom. And he's going down, down, down. He says, I don't even know how I'm going to walk around on the bottom of the ocean when I get down there. I've never had one of these on before. This is what he's saying to himself. He couldn't admit it to everybody else. And so when he hits the bottom, his feet sink into the floor of the ocean, and before he can do anything, he falls forward, and he's laying in the muck of the bottom of the ocean, flat on his face. And he knows that this is it. I have let my pride bring my end. But after a little while, here comes someone from up above, helps him get back up on his feet, teaches him how to walk, and gets him back up to the ship. I know that's never happened to you, that you've let pride get in the way, that you've thought you could handle something all alone, that you could take care of it. But the truth of the matter is, human beings need one another. We do. We need each other every day to encourage us and to help us, and sometimes to pick us up, dust us off, and encourage us to keep trying. My friend, did you hear what Jesus said in the very last verse of this passage? He came to seek and save the lost. Zacchaeus was lost. So are we. We need a Savior. We need someone to inspire us and encourage us. I'm thankful for Jesus. I still got a few bad habits I need to work on. Reva helps me. I help her. They used to say that wasn't good for a marriage. But the truth is, Reva knows me better than anybody. And I can trust what she says, because she says it in love. There's a proverb that says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. You ever heard that proverb? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Somebody who tells you openly and honestly. Now, don't let that be the only thing you heard here today. And you make it your goal to go out there and be a wounder. Because all the people you meet today are your friends. Remember, Zacchaeus met Jesus and changed his life. When I met Jesus, when I really met Jesus at 15 years of age, even though I'd been taught about Jesus from the time I was born, when I really met Jesus and invited him to transform my life, it's never been the same. I'm still working to give up the bad and replace it with something good, and I hope you are too. May God's grace and love come to us every day anew through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. Well, the title of my testimony is 120 miles an hour to zero in 1.5 seconds. When I was a child, I always ran. Whenever I wanted to go someplace, I ran. My mom, this is the truth, she always told me, Lee, your feet are always two steps ahead of your mind. Slow down. I kid you not. Here's the funny part. I was raised in Raleigh County. My first reprimand that I ever received from a teacher was not back home, but it was here in Lewisburg, and I wasn't even in school yet. One day, I went to school with my older cousin, I don't remember why, and we were lining up to come back in from recess. And yes, guess who was called on the carpet for running? Anyway, that'd be me. During my life, I've had many, many, many close calls, accidents. I'm sure many of you all have, for getting ahead of myself. And yet, though I always ran full steam ahead, I was always fortunate enough to walk away from them after they happened. I was going to make a list and read them all off to you, but Diana said I didn't have time up here to do that. Plus, I didn't want to give anybody the impression that I've never been exactly the sharpest knife in the drawer. I truly believe that God does not cause bad things to happen to his children. We all have free will, and not always, but many times, the bad things that do happen to us are the result of our own decisions. God didn't cause that tree to fall on me. I did. God hurts when we hurt. God does not get pleasure in our pain. Many thoughts went through my mind while I was pinned under the tree. Was I going to bleed out? You know, monthly finances, they went through my head. Work, what's Diana going to do? My children, will I see them again? What about my grandchildren? Would I be around to see them anymore? Why are we allowed to suffer? As Reverend Tim said in his story this past Ash Wednesday about the gentleman in the hospital. That really came to light. I like that. There was a man in hospital bed, and he looked at the picture of Christ on the wall and said, if God can allow his son Jesus to suffer on the cross, then what makes me think that I will never suffer? There are times when I think about Diana's father, Rex. He had degenerative arthritis and had five hips replacements during his lifetime. Then my mother, Marinelle, that was stricken with polio between her freshman and sophomore year at WVU. They both suffered with these limitations most of their lives. My mother used to swim like a fish and ran track at Parkersburg High School. Many times I think of what she and Rex had to overcome, both physically and mentally. Though my mom had a one-year setback from college, she did graduate and had a successful life afterwards, as did Diana's father. They both persevered. So now back to me. Nothing has touched my heart more as when Diana played the Facebook video of our choir dedicating their song to me that very next day, Sunday, after I woke up from surgery. The very first Sunday after I came home, nothing was going to stop me from attending church nor singing in the choir a few Sundays later. I am forever grateful of the love, support, the house repairs, the step railings, the food, the babysitting, the car transportation, and prayers for my church family, my wife, and my immediate family, and for the prayers from people I never met that heard of my accident. I can't explain how much God and this church has filled my heart and given me the strength to overcome this setback and to persevere. That day, Thursday, October 18, 2018, I lay on the ground and I thought, there's no turning the clock back on this one. It's here, it's now, it's real. This is not a dream. What am I going to do now? I didn't walk away from that accident that day, but I'm walking now. I'm not running at 120 miles an hour either, but I'm walking. Maybe my feet, my mind has finally caught up with my feet. So God will give us the strength to overcome. We just have to let him and trust him. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from the Lewisburg United Methodist Church. We pray that you are blessed by God's Word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lwbumc.com.